But at the same time, we've maintained the sustainability of the National Ports Authority to be able to do the job that they're supposed to do. We are very proactive in mitigating risks, and we maintain what we call an excessive tariff increase margin credit facility. It's an ETIMC. It's like a savings account in regulatory terms. And in this account, there's more than 2 billion rands available to offset future increases. So when the inflation, the price increase that we calculate becomes very high, then we offset against the savings account as such. And so we keep prices generally below inflation of the National Ports Authority. In July 2015, we published for the first time South Africa's long-term port tariff strategy. This aims to reform port infrastructure pricing over a 10-year period, and it aims to bring about a greater fairness, cost reflectivity, and predictability in our port pricing system. One of the key things mentioned in the State of the Nation address is the issue of beneficiation. Now, what we've done is within our strategy, we maintain a 70% lower prices for highly beneficiated South African manufactured cargo in export containers, as well as manufactured export vehicles. So if we compare the price of the charges for an imported vehicle, the charges on an exported vehicle are 70% lower, and the same goes for containers. So things manufactured in South Africa and therefore fully beneficiated, therefore enjoy some kind of preferential pricing within our tariff strategy. As part of beneficiation in this, in March this year, the regulator finalized and published for public comment what we call the Port Tariff Incentive Program, PTIP, for public consultation, which will also further facilitate incentives for beneficiation and other cross-subsidies which are in the public interest. In addition, all automotive industry cargo dues have been equalized at the full 60% discount level. There used to be a stratification on discount levels. The big manufacturers in South Africa got very high discounts. The smaller guys got less and less and less. And so we've equalized all the discount, for the export as such, at a 60% discount level. This reduces the cost of doing business to smaller South African auto manufacturers, and it does also therefore contribute to beneficiation and South African industrialization. We've had a South African flag vessel incentive program, so we're continuing that. At the moment, there is a 3-year period in which we incentivize South African flagged vessels. There have been a few, our colleagues here at SAMHSA will probably say something about that. A vessel that is being registered in South Africa will enjoy some kind of discount on marine charges. There's also within the tariff strategy a cross-subsidy for ship repair facilities, and this is in support of Operation Pakisa. In addition, on Operation Pakisa, the ports regulator deals with the funding proposals of the National Ports Authority capital projects and facilitates Operation Pakisa in this way. In the coming years, as you will see in our strategy, the regulator will increasingly focus on BBBE and transformation in the port sector, and has already, in its last record of decision, asked the National Ports Authority to supply a strategy by the end of May, dealing with the transformation in its plans for new and existing infrastructure concessions towards BBBE, as well as a plan on how it will implement the new codes. Just continuing NDP and NTSF alignment on the next slide. Being the regulator of an infrastructure-owning entity, the ports regulator derives most of its alignment with the outcome 6 of the medium-term strategic framework, which of course is based on the National Development Plan, and then as well as the PICC National Infrastructure Plan. So key within outcome 6 is government's intent to develop and capacitate economic regulators within the MTSF period to 2014 to 2019. And so part of our intention was to then capacitate and develop further this regulator that deals with ports. Also with respect to the MTSF target of the review of regulators, the ports regulator had published a 5-year public regulatory review that was done by the end of March last year. A target in the MTSF for the establishment of a single transport economic regulator also finds resonance with the work of the regulator, and the regulator has worked with the department in this regard. The measuring and benchmarking of efficiency of South African ports also aligns with a target in the MTSF metrics, and it is part of the work that's ongoing with the regulator. So we do benchmarking both nationally and internationally of our ports. These studies, of course, are published on our website. The regulator continues to build capacity to align itself with government strategic initiatives to improve regulation, especially of infrastructure, as well as ensure operational efficiency, capacity, and competitiveness of our logistics and transport infrastructure as per the NDP. Initiatives in this regard, as well as on beneficiation and other incentives, contribute to and align with Chapter 4 of the MTSF as well, dealing with the economic sector as a whole. Okay, if I go on to the next section, dealing with the AGSA recommendations and findings from the annual report 2015-16, the ports regulator received a clean audit report from the Auditor General for the 2014-15 as well as 15-16 financial years. There were a few audit findings, however, that did need to be addressed, although these were not material, and the high-level audit outcome action plan to address the AG's findings is presented in the table that we provided there, and the items have been resolved. So I don't think we need to go through it in a great deal of detail because it is arising from a clean audit. There were two findings that had to be addressed, and they dealt with performance information. It was a very minor one. I think one of the studies that we had done dealt with actually outlined which areas it will focus on, and one of the focus areas had to change because of lack of information from the private sector on that, and so it was found wanting in that sense. Although the rest of the report was done, and we had compensated by doing more items as well. And then there were some issues about internal controls that the AFS had to be reviewed by internal audit before being submitted. But these were not actually material findings. As I say, it came out as a clean audit, and those matters have been resolved. The next item was the Portfolio Committee of Transport recommendations from the Strat Plan and APP report and the BRRR report. I must say there were no specific recommendations that were made to the ports regulators of South Africa within the BRRR. However, general recommendations that were made for all entities within, therefore we picked on those and discussed that. Okay, so on the observations and recommendations from the Strat Plan and APP report, in line with what was outlined, as general points, the ports regulator had requested a baseline revision during the MTF budget process, and we actually have been granted that a small baseline increase of 3 million, 5 million, and 10 million over the MTF period. So we are thankful for the portfolio committee's role in ensuring that we did get some baseline increase. The second point was the amendments to the Act. The ports regulator has supplied the DOT with proposed amendments to the Act that will allow the regulator to charge a regulatory fee and reduce fiscal reliance as a new funding model. So the process of passing the amendments then needs attention. I think the DOT will be actually putting this forward or taking this forward within this financial year, and we hope to get your support as parliamentarians for this. The next item, the ports regulator supports the recommendation that the DOT expeditiously process these legislative amendments, in particular to the Ports Act, as this will allow the regulator to enforce compliance of the regulated entity, as well as enhance the funding model of the funding of the regulator, as I've just discussed. The regulator annually communicates its funding constraints during the MTF budget process and during the strategic planning sessions, and is always willing to join the DOT in engaging with National Treasury to explain fiscal constraints. So these were just responding to the general observations from Strategic Plan and APP Report 2016. The next one just deals with recommendations made by the AG for the budgetary review and recommendation report for the 2015-16 financial year. And here again, these are general items that we've responded to. Firstly, the regulator did submit action plans to the Department of Transport on a quarterly basis and continues to do so. There have been no repeat transgressions, as the regulator has received clean audits in the last 2 years. The regulator makes use of government tender bulletins for advertising tenders. Adequate SEM processes are in place, including disclosure of interest for all employees and regulator members. The regulator submits the compliance checklist, which verifies compliance with Treasury regulations, financial and performance reporting. The action plans and the compliance checklist addresses internal control effectiveness. And lastly, the regulator does report quarterly to the department for financial and performance reporting purposes. And lastly, the committee recommendations for the 2015-16 financial year from the BRRR. The Minister of Transport, with the assistance of the department, has addressed regulator member vacancies. And the regulator has embarked on extensive training for staff and regulator members in the 2016-17 year, covering economic regulation training, judicial training, as well as governance training. So there has been extensive training both for staff and regulator members in that regard. I want to then move on to the next slide that deals with boards of entities. Now, as an entity, the regulator doesn't necessarily, in terms of the Act, follow the classic PFMA-style board and entity. In terms of National Ports Act, the regulator doesn't have a board, but the minister makes appointments of regulator members in terms of Section 31 of the Act. The current regulator, therefore, was appointed by the member by the Minister of Transport on the 1st of September 2015 for a 3-year term, which ends on 30th August 2018. 11 members at the time were appointed, including the chairperson. And, of course, the CEO, in terms of the Act, is also a member of the regulator ex officio. The regulator has 3 subcommittees, an Audit and Risk Committee, a Human Resources Committee, and a Regulatory Committee. The regulator members also conduct tribunal hearings and make tariff and tribunal decisions, and therefore partly serve an executive function. For this reason, the ports regulator has an independent audit committee chairperson who is not an, a member that is appointed by the minister, and the Act designates the CEO as the accounting officer in terms of Section 43. So this is the nature of the controlling body of the regulator, and we thought that this is what you would have wanted to know about in terms of the board as such. So the board charter alignment with the entity and departmental strategies, and whether the board charter has been reviewed and when it's up for review. In this instance, the minister signs a performance agreement with the board, with the ports regulator on a yearly basis. After departmental officials of the maritime branch have checked the contents from a policy perspective, the current charter has been reviewed and signed and will be reviewed again for the next financial year. As far as performance assessment of the members, the regulator has in its last meeting discussed the issue and tasked the audit committee with determining an appropriate methodology for the assessment. This is expected to be adopted by the regulator in its meeting towards the end of May, and we expect that the assessment or evaluation should be available by at least the middle of July. And, of course, here we wish to ask for your guidance in terms of whether you would like that sent to the committee. The next slide deals with changes in strategic plans. We were to indicate the targets achieved or targets dates moved or not achievable and removed. The regulator managed to achieve 100% of its targets in the 2016-17 annual performance plan. The major indicators achieved was the delivery of the tariff assessment record of decision 3 months before the deadline. We published a new multi-year tariff methodology, the second of its kind that we've had, and the asset valuation project, which after 3 unsuccessful processes has actually been kicked off. So the initial part of the asset valuation project was done. The following key risks were highlighted and mitigation plans proposed by the entity. So the key risks in our risk register are the loss of regulator credibility, gap in regulatory member tenure, with people resigning, etc., insufficient human resources and internal administrative capacity, which may result in negative audit opinion, insufficient funding resulting in non-achievement of objectives, potential non-compliance with legislative requirements, the non-enforceability of decisions, ports regulator monitoring mandate not effective without enforcement mechanisms to ensure NPA compliance with the National Ports Act, litigious risk against the regulator with indirect consequences or influence on the NPA, especially in terms of the tariff decision-making and information disclosures to the regulator. And lastly, the difficulty of the regulator to monitor compliance with the new BBBE Act codes in the port sector. So these were the sort of key risks, and of course our risk register then highlights and looks at mitigation, much of which are related to the amendments in the Act, the funding model proposed, and the APP items for the following year. So that brings us to the targets carried over from the previous APP 2016-17. Some of the sort of basic targets in relation to the running of the organization have been retained, and many of the new targets are relating to extending and further carrying out and progressively realizing our mandate. So the targets carried over from the APP are the achievement, firstly, of all targets set out in an APP, the annual review of organizational policies, assessment of employee performance to improve organizational efficiency and performance, monitoring employee performance in order to achieve alignment with strategic objectives, full implementation of our HR and training plan for staff and members, tariff decision and record of decision publication, which of course is our core business every year, comparing South African port prices with global ports and producing our annual global port pricing comparator study. Performance of assessment of case management, adjudication of matters, and decision making, and that regards the tribunal processes. And lastly, ensuring good governance and compliance of the organization itself with legislation. So the key objectives for the year, we're saying that in the year ahead, the regulator intends to expand its role in the transformation and BBBB participation of the sector, whilst continuing its analytical decision-making and compliance work. We hope to be able to enhance the capacity of the regulator as required by the National Development Plan, fill key unfunded posts, and strive to retain the skills we have assembled as greater financial resources become available. I think there was a note requesting some of the challenges in the mandate, in executing the mandate. Budgetary constraints remain a challenge. Additional baseline funding has been received, but it does result in a drop between the 2016-17 and 2018 financial year, with a slow ramp up to the outer year. So because of receiving once-off funding previously, we now experience a drop of just over 6 million rands, which is a significant amount for a small entity. The new funding model, as per the legislative amendments, is required to capacitate the regulator and implement programs successfully and sustainably. In terms of capacity, we've 19 or so of the 27 organogram posts were filled, which is still too small for the enormity of the task as compared to other South African regulators, which have a much bigger establishment. For example, ICASA, NERSA, and others. So we do need to strengthen the regulator's powers within the Act, as well as enable a new self-funding model that reduces fiscal reliance, and therefore the Ports Act amendments are required to be passed to enable this. At the moment, we are not allowed to charge a regulatory fee to the regulator, and the Act actually precludes this, and therefore we want an amendment in the Act that allows us to actually self-fund like other regulators do. Coming to the new targets for 2017-18 in the APP, we're saying we need to implement the new tariff methodology and monitor the implementation of the tariff strategy. So we have actually published a new tariff methodology, as I've said, and the tariff strategy was published in 2015. We need to develop a comprehensive training course on economic regulation with regards to the port sector, so we are doing that in-house with the expertise that we have. We will develop a range of regulatory outcomes and strategies for achieving these outcomes. We will enhance National Ports Authority compliance with the Ports Act and identify key interventions for economic regulation and industry development. We aim to develop a port demand model that allows us to do better forecasting of in terms of the tariffs that we need to issue a record of decision on. We will be performing capital prudency assessments. We will develop a valuation methodology for assets, the National Ports Authority assets, from the study that we've done this year. We will report on the National Ports Authority capital rollout program. We will report on port performance, and we will implement the stakeholder management plan so that our stakeholders are better informed of the studies we do and what we are doing in the sector. There will be a development of a baseline on equity of access to ports. That's what we aim to do. We think that the current studies, for example, or the looking at this, certificates, the triple B certificates of companies in the port sector doesn't give us really a true reflection of what is actually happening out there. So we want to do some further studies on transformation in the port sector. Develop infrastructure efficiency targets for existing infrastructure. Assessment of the National Ports Authority infrastructure plan or program. Continue to monitor the National Ports Authority compliance and extend compliance monitoring to other participants in the port sector. Triple BEE review of agreements and concessions. Develop a framework of rights to equity of access and its enforcement. Develop legal instruments to enforce efficiency in ports. And lastly, to conclude a memoranda of understanding with other regulators in South Africa. So these are the new targets. I've already discussed what we retain as the ongoing targets of the ports regulator. Coming to the slide on legislation and changes requested and targets. As we've already alluded along the way, the National Ports Act of 2005 is the main legislation affecting the operations of the ports regulator. In fact, the Ports Act establishes both the regulator as well as the authority. So there is a need for greater transformation in the port sector with respect to access and triple BEE. Therefore, there is a need to strengthen the regulator's powers within the Act. So the Ports Act amendments that we have proposed to the department, which hopefully will be taken forward this year, are required to be passed, and with the ability to impose greater penalties for non-compliance. A new funding model is also required, as we've spoken about, to capacitate the regulator and implement its program successfully and sustainably. This also requires these legislative amendments to the National Ports Act, which currently excludes the option of a regulatory charge on regulated entities. And so we are proposing that this should be included in the amendments, and hopefully the amendments are passed to enable a new self-funding model that reduces fiscal reliance. The ports regulator has submitted the proposed amendments and penalty clauses to the minister and the department in this previous financial year. The regulator has done presentations on the proposed funding model previously to the portfolio committee. As you will recall, the department is expected to finalize its position on the amendments to the National Ports Act and take this through the parliamentary process in this 2017-18 financial year. It is not clear yet as to the proposed dates by when the legislation will be tabled by the DOT for consideration by the committee. I think lastly, we've got a slide on the identified budget constraints and proposals for revenue generation. And I think here again we're then picking up on what we've said before, that the regulator currently solely relies on transfers from the fiscus to finance its operations as per the provisions of the Ports Act. The Strat Plan and APP for 2017-18 has identified areas where the regulator aims to improve efficiency of regulation. However, this does require additional funding to appoint more employees. The regulator relies on human capital mainly to perform its functions, since its operations are more analytical, administrative, and I must say to some extent partly judicial in nature. The ports regulator presented the new funding model to alleviate the funding constraints. The new proposal will require amendments to the Act to allow it to collect a regulatory fee from the entities, regulated entities. The funding model, when it is approved, will present some relief to the fiscus in that the regulator will be able to sustain itself similar to other regulators that charge a regulatory fee. In all four core programs of the regulator have been expanded, in the new strat plan in terms of service delivery to the maritime stakeholders. The regulator has maintained disciplined expenditure and has a balance sheet which is sound and stable, but will require enhancement going forward. So it is estimated that only 0.3 to 0.5% of the regulated entity's revenue will be required as a regulatory fee in order for the regulator to be sustainable. So I think with that, Chairperson, I would like to thank you and take any further questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much, honourable members. There we are. Short, concise, a presentation, but very elaborate in terms of information. Can I see indicators as to who would want to speak to the issues? Let me also indicate that we are looking forward to the amendments. We have not as yet, as the Portfolio Committee, received the proposed amendment coming to Parliament, but we hope that they should arrive so that we can be able to deal with it. I think for the past 3 years since we've been here, every time you come for a presentation, you speak to the amendments, and we're looking forward to the minister making sure that we are able to get those amendments, because listening to the presentation, they will make a huge difference in terms of your operations. And we hope that the DOT will be able to heed the call and bring the fast-track, the proposed amendment to us. Honourable Singa, Honourable Sibande, Honourable Ramatakana, Honourable Presenters, Honourable Mlawuzi, along those lines.
Thank you, Chair. Also, thank you for the presentation. In general, happy with what we heard. Just disturbing to hear that you have already submitted recommendations on a very important and piece of future legislation that has a profound impact on your financial sustainability and your financial health. Chair, several valuable determinations have been made, and I recall the whole Columbus stainless steel issue and so on, which was a great determination which benefited the country to a big extent. But then I also recall at some other conference there was a remark around the development of this tariff assessment methodology. And what was underpinned in terms of a comment around that was the statement made that there are issues with legislation that confuses matters. And I'm sure that your recommendation to DOT included exactly that. But I would like to know, when did you submit these recommendations to DOT? And are those recommendations the ones that you would say would alleviate what was referred to as issues that confuses matters? Thank you, Chair. That's all from my side.
Sanmona. Thank you, Chairperson. Just a clarity on fuel. Chairperson, I'll start with this one. On slide number 3, one of the bulletins on the beneficiations, I was very much touched when you referred to SONA, that it was highlighted in SONA, of which we appreciate it. I wanted to find out something. I don't know when. Also, there was another request from the from SONA, I can't remember SONA, which requested you about the issue of the job creation. That's how far are you about that concept as well? And then again, Chairperson, there is a slide which is worrying me. Yes. that slide, when you talk about outcome 6, you said outcome 6 for the period of MTSF 2014 to 2019. Am I correct? Né? But the target in slide number 4, in one of the bulletins again, when you talk about the targets in the MTSF outcome 6, for the, you spoke about the establishment of single transport economic regulator. And you also indicated that the to review it is 5 years. But if you calculate 2015, 2016, 2017, very close to 2015, how far are you? Because it's towards the end of 2019 now. With that concept of outcome 6, are you reaching the target, reaching the goal, and what are the challenges? And then also, there is a slide which I've marked here, Chairperson, which I need clarity. Slide 8. Where you were talking about the risk which we highlighted and mitigation plans which were proposed to the entity. One of them was the insufficient human resource and internal administrative capacity which may result in a negative audit opinion. So, also you, when you go down in one of the bulletins, you said non-enforceability of decisions. So my worry is that already, Chairperson, if you go to slide number 10, when they speak about challenges faced in executing the mandate, there is a place where they are talking about, they've said capacity is filled, but it's too small as compared to South SA regulators. May you please clarify that? Exactly what do you mean? Because the other side, you said insufficient or non-enforceability of decisions. But this side, you said the organogram posts are filled. Filled with capacity, filled without capacity. What do you mean exactly? Because to me, it's a contradiction. Because the other side, they're complaining. The other side, you report something else. May you please clarify us that? What do you mean exactly? And then also, Chairperson, they spoke about budgetary constraint, one of the changes. At the same time, somewhere, they have reported that on slide number 12, they spoke about the PRSA, which means I'm subject for corrections, a port regulator South Africa. You said they've done the presentation on the proposed funding models to portfolio committee in previous years. You said they've done those proposals in the previous years. See, if I got Tina, imagine. You mean us as portfolio committee? Okay. Was that proposal met? Because it was done the previous years. And when you are not specific, from which year, you just said previous years, because you can put a blame on us while we started now in 2014. Because we wanted to find out where is the problem. The problem is with us or is with you, because you spoke about your capacity insufficient, but at the same time, you wanted to shift the blame to us as a portfolio committee, as if you requested funding for some times ago. When? No, Mina, I'm responding on what you have written yourself. Chairperson, let me leave it there. I'll come to the second bite, because this one, you're not young, Warishakakulu, the portfolio committee, that the presentation was done to them. I agree. Which year was it? That's the question. Adhered to? Or what was the challenges? Thank you, Chairperson. I'll come.
On on this one, where the Honorable Sbande end up, I was going to say, well, because I'm new in this committee, so I don't remember this presentation. But you already covered me, so I was going to really just immediately say that I don't remember it, but it's before my time because I'm new. But just a few clarification questions. I'm struggling with my voice because I've got a bit of a flu. I think you'll forgive me. The funding model, I think the question has been posed about the funding model. I think it's very important, and let me thank you for the presentation. You always give lots of information with your presentation. For that, we need to thank you. The funding model, where is it now? And what is the board take on it? The flagging of South African vessels, you mentioned there in the slides, which is something that we said it was good and that we needed to support. But just what are the noticeable benefit to date that you can speak about as the Port Authority, as a Port Authority? Then you spoke about the tariffs and the tariffs increase, but later you then spoke about the underfunding. So I was wondering whether the tariffs increase was not a projected increase that is also going to augment the shortfall in terms of funding. So there should be some kind of alignment in terms of the tariffs increase and what you want to achieve, because you're basically looking for money. Then the other question that you spoke about is the powers that is needed to the regulator. And then immediately you spoke about the amendment of the Act that you have since submitted to the department. The last time when we had a discussion with you, I remember the long discussion about the amendment and the displeasure of the committee around the delay and the department, including the issue about funding. So I think it's useful that you just tell us when, but I'm interested to understand the content of that amendment proposal that you've made with respect to what you're crying about, the issues of powers. What are you addressing in terms of that amendment? And then there is also an issue that you talk about, which is part of the new targets that deals with the stakeholders. The stakeholders. So who are the stakeholders that we make a reference to, so that at least we know we are able to measure it going forward in terms of those stakeholders that you are going to be making this, signing this MOU, and of course the time frame to achieving the MOU becomes also critical. The rest are small information. I will leave that at the chair. Thank you.
No, thanks, Chairperson, and thanks for the presentation. On page 5, we congratulate you for Clean Audit 2014-15 and 16, and we will wait for 2016. We hope 2016-17 also will come clean. But however, we you highlighted that there are few auditor findings by the AG. I just wanted to know about the assistant by internal audit in the internal and the audit committee, if how effective it is to continue with these audit findings. So about the board entities, I thought maybe you were going to just to show us or in brief about the board meetings or the regulator members, as you call them, meetings in terms of Section 31. How many meetings per annum? How many meetings they hold, and how many special meetings and the subcommittee meetings? Because it's necessary, because sometimes you'll find the chunk of money is being used to pay the regulators members. So we'd like maybe to get such presentation if you have, but if you don't have, you can do that in writing and submit to the committee. So the other clarity is on page 8 about the changes in strategic plan. You said there is a loss of regulator credibility. So maybe it would be good if you can get the reason why, what are the causes of such a loss of regulator credibility. So the other thing is about the PR monitoring mandate, which you said is not effective without enforcement mechanism. And what is your plan on that? And also the difficulties in the regulator to monitor compliance with the new BBBEE Act. What are the problem for the regulator to monitor that compliance? What is hindering you to do such? On page 9, in the key objective for the year, you said that the regulator intend to expand its role in the transformation of the BBBEE participation. So I just want to know the current status. If you want to expand it from which point, how much in terms of percent are you, to, so that we can see whether is it slow or is it fast. So can maybe tell us in terms of percentages. So this other question, maybe to go to the Department of Transport, if they are here, the page 10 about the challenging the port regulator is facing, about the additional funding. They said it's like it's a challenge for them, which make them to be slow. So maybe the department can tell us for this coming budget, which we are going to approve, how much maybe did they increase their share to the port regulator. And the last, but not least, yes, the last in page 10 is the need to strengthen the regulator's power with the new self-funding model. So, but when we check your APP 2017-2018, there is no such strategy which shows that you are serious of establishing the new self-funding model in the port regulator. So why is it not in your plan, in the APP, what we are saying? Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mlauzi. Honorable De Freitas.
Thank you, Chair. My colleagues have asked some of the questions I wanted to ask, so I've just got a few. On the presentation, page 8, it talks about insufficient human resources and internal administrative capacity. And then it also talks about insufficient funding. So how are you going to try and overcome these in this context? And then, on the same page, we've got, you put here, difficulty of the regulators to monitor compliance with the new BEE Act in the port sector. If you could just say why that is the case. Perhaps I'm missing something. Also didn't see anything like that in your report. And then, on your page 10, you talk about your filling of vacancies with your Gattagram. If you could just talk a little bit more about that. I'm about to miss what you're talking about, but it looks like you've still got quite a large number of unfilled posts. And then on your page 11, you talk about one of the targets that you put there is to develop legal instruments to enforce efficiency in ports. If you indicate what you mean by that, are you talking about the legislation that you're proposing for later in the year? Is that the same thing? Or that you've tabled in to the department? And then on that same page, you talk about developing infrastructure efficiency targets for existing infrastructure. What was wrong before that you feel you needed to, essentially, from what I'm reading here, be more efficient? Where were the inefficiencies? And then I think all the others have been asked. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much, Honourable De Freitas. Thank you very much, Honourable Members, for the questions. I'm bringing it back to you for responses.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I don't know which order I should. It may be easier to go in a backwards order because you remember the questions more easily.
Any order is okay.
That's fine. Okay, I think, Honourable Deflators, maybe I would go this way. What's on page 80 is risks. So when we say, if, for example, that... So that area of, say, loss of credibility of the regulator, insufficient HR, that, you know, and insufficient funding, those are all risks. We were asked, following your template, then the template says discuss your risks. We're not saying that those things are what is the issue now. Those are the risks of the organization that we must think about, what could happen. So we're not saying, for example, that the regulator has lost credibility. In fact, the regulator has good credibility there. It is well respected, for example, I'm just using that as an example. So those are just potential risks. So when we say insufficient HR, insufficient funding, difficulties in regulation, these are not necessarily that we're saying that is happening right now. In some cases, they might be happening. Of course, filling of vacancies in the organogram, you're right, that there are, it's an organogram that is not, we don't have funding to fill all those posts immediately. But as I said in there, that, you know, we've had 19 posts out of 27 that we are able to fill, and we are working on those things. So, of course, you'll have people coming in and out, but and I think earlier on I mentioned as well that in future when we have better funding and more certain in a new funding model, we would probably want to propose a new organogram which is actually larger than the 27 posts, so that we can, you know, be more in line with other regulators like NERSA, like ICASA, etc., which have far more people and are able to do more things. But, of course, this is in the port sector. Developing the legal instruments to enforce efficiency in ports. So at the moment, for example, let's go back and say we are a regulator of the National Ports Authority. The National Ports Authority actually is the owner, it's the landlord of the ports. So it owns the terminals, the berths, all of those things, the port entrance channels, the breakwaters, and everything. Everything in the infrastructure of ports is owned by the National Ports Authority. We are a regulator and we set prices for them. So PRSA is the one. Once you create a landlord which is owned by one company in the whole country, then it becomes a monopoly. And therefore the Act says that there must also be a regulator of this monopoly, and we are the regulator. So we are the one that say, are they charging too much? We then say, no, the price should be lower. So we set tariffs. So these tariffs are not actually setting ourselves money. We are not giving ourselves money. We are funded completely separately from the tariffs that we are setting. So National Treasury through the Department of Transport would give us an amount of money for ourselves to run ourselves as a regulator. But our job is to set tariffs for the National Ports Authority. So when we're talking about tariffs, it's not ours. It's not our money. Coming back to the issue of legal instruments to enforce efficiency in ports, now you can imagine there's an infrastructure owner. And if the infrastructure is being used, they get a tariff for the use of the infrastructure. If it is being used inefficiently, they're getting less and less money, and we have to compensate from port tariffs to pick up port tariffs so that they have enough money to run. So we're saying that if they run efficiently, they will make more money and we will have less, we don't have to raise the price each time. So we want, as part of the amendments, then the ability to make sure that we enforce that the port's infrastructure, which is owned by the Ports Authority, is run more efficiently so that they don't have to demand more and higher and higher prices. So it's similar, if I had to use an example of Eskom, which may be not a good thing, but as an example, if each power station produced more electricity for the same price, then the electricity price doesn't have to go up. It can remain stable or go down. So this is what we are saying here. We want the ability to make sure that they run more efficiently so that the price does not have to go up. Honorable Mulati. We are happy that with the congratulations on the clean audit. We hope that we get one this year as well. We always work towards it, but you never know what happens. The board meetings that you speak about, how many per annum, and subcommittee meetings. You see, like I said, it is normally, although we treat it as a board, it is not a board. It's a regulator, right? And the Act says the regulator can... Even in the Act, it is written the regulator may have as many meetings that it requires in order to do its job. So there is no limit on the number of meetings, unlike traditional boards. But I can tell you that the regulator does meet at least four times a year as a board in inverted commas. But subcommittees may meet more times than that. We do publish this in the annual report. It is always published. We're in the process of drawing up the annual report now. By the end of May, we would have our first draft, which we would send to the DOT. But if you require that we send you this information for the last financial year, we will do that. And here again, I think you spoke about loss of regulator credibility. I think I've addressed that. It's a risk, and we write these things in the risk register. It doesn't mean that we have lost credibility. Monitoring compliance with the BBBE. At the moment, we do have a compliance staff, at least one staff member that looks at compliance of the National Ports Authority, and of course they look at, they have collected a sample of BBBE certificates of the operators. Remember, there's the infrastructure owners, and then there's the operators of the infrastructure. So some of the operators will be Transnet port terminals, and then private sector, Bidvest, etc., Grindrods. So these are all operators, and then we are trying to now find out, okay, are the operators BBBE compliant? So it's not about our own compliance with the BBBE Act. We fully comply as an organization. The Ports Authority does as well. But what we're saying is we are trying to look at the sector and try to now expand the view on whether the sector as a whole, the port sector, is moving in the correct direction in this regard. So you're saying, yeah, the regulator intends to expand its role in the BBBE area, and where are we now? So I'm trying to give you a sense that what we are doing is we have a role in looking at compliance with the National Ports Act and its regulations. So there are some stipulations about where we should have been by now in terms of BBB in the sector as a whole. So we are trying to actually move into that and make sure that the sector as a whole is compliant. Of course, there are new set of codes coming out, and that affects it. So at the moment, the sector on paper does actually comply, but the new codes will then, so that's the status quo, but the new codes will bring in a different kind of measurement of this, and so we need to get to grips with that. So that's why we are saying we're expanding this. The new self-funding model, why not in the APP? The funding model itself, I think to answer a different question as well, it was presented here not as something that you have to do. We were alerting you to the fact that at some point it would become it would have to become part of legislation to be addressed, because our current what is written in our act about funding at this point in time says we can only receive fiscal funding. We do not have the power to levy a charge on the entity that we regulate and make part of funding, like for example, NERSA gets part of its funding from electricity tariffs. So we don't have that system where we can get part of our funding from port charges or cargo dues, etc. So it would require legislative change. So we can't write that in our APP now, because it is not dependent on us. We have done the work that we require to propose the amendments, but we can't write in an APP a target that makes Parliament responsible to actually achieve. So I think we've been told before by this House not to write things that are dependent on other people. We must write things that only depend on us. So at this point in time, we've done the funding proposals, we have made amendments, which we have passed on to the DOT to take forward, but we can't write this in an APP because there is no more a dependency on something that we have to do. It's something that the DOT and Parliament has to pass, and therefore we have not included that as something that we write in our APP now. All right. Honourable Ramatlakana, the funding model, you said, okay. Yes, okay. So the I think maybe I've addressed this in some way. What is the board's take on the funding model? Where is it now? So the funding model is a concept that says that we should not only rely on fiscal funding, we should rely also on funding on the regulated entity that we regulate, should be able to pay a regulatory fee, and therefore it then requires an act, the act to be amended, and therefore it was part of the amendment. So that's the board, as it were, actually came up with the amendments and has passed it on to the Minister of Transport for actioning. The flagging of South African vessels, I'm not sure what the issue was here. I think here it was an incentive for getting South African vessels flagged, and of course that would help in job creation in South Africa, right? So as far as tariffs on port charges, etc., so there was a 30% reduction in port dues on vessels that were flagged for tariffs. Remember, we only deal with tariffs. The National Ports Authority charges a vessel for coming into the port and so on. So those tariffs, we introduced a discount there, so that it actually assists in South African in vessels more and more becoming flagged South African. Once a vessel is flagged South African, of course the SAMHSA and others would then impose, you know, that they should have labor content of so many people in South Africa, or a cadet program for training, etc. So it helps to improve employment for South Africans, and it extends the South African influence beyond our borders into other countries. So you are taking a South African worker beyond the port boundary into another country. So it actually improves the South African content in the logistics supply chain. That's the essence of it. And the incentive, therefore, then gets paid for in other ways by giving South Africans more work, changing the nature of the relationship as it stands now in the logistics industry. Powers needed for the amendments. Okay, so we said firstly the amendments would help us to improve our funding. Secondly, it does allow things like increased penalties for non-compliance. It allows, for example, I think the Honorable Hunsinger raised this issue about there was an one of the reviews said that what we considered to be a port user, for example, was different from the judge's interpretation. So it addresses those sorts of things. Who is the port user? How does the act apply to the port user, etc.? So, and then there are, you know, other amendments that of a legal nature that allows then the process of regulation to be improved. So essentially it does improve the powers of the regulator within the act. So it's aimed at, you know, that over the 10-year period we have found certain gaps in trying to execute regulation in the port sector, and so it culminates now into this amendments of the Act. So new targets, I think you mentioned stakeholders. Who are the stakeholders and the time frame for achieving MOUs? So the stakeholder issue is slightly different from the MOUs. Let me just look at this. Concluding MOUs with other regulators. For example, in one of the cases, there were two regulators involved, the pipeline regulator that falls under NERSA and then us as the ports regulator, because it was dealing with a pipeline in the port. So now it means that you must enter into MOUs. You don't want one regulator saying one thing to a stakeholder and then another regulator saying something else. So you conclude MOUs that if there's a case where there's, common jurisdiction, that which one will take precedence. So these are important things for the efficient running of the state, which of course is an NDP prerogative, that you don't want then conflicts between two regulators. The same would hold true for the Competition Commission, where their jurisdiction overlaps with ours. We already, in fact, have an MOU with the Competition Commission, but we wanted to extend this to other regulators just to make sure that if there's a case involving many different kinds of infrastructure, like I said, pipelines and ports, there are of course pipelines in ports, so which takes precedence where? So that's an important thing. Not sure whether I've covered you fully. The port stakeholders, I think in general, who are the port stakeholders? It's everyone that has to do with ports, whether it's from stevedoring to shipping to freight forwarders, shipping lines, the National Ports Authority itself, the Department of Transport, we consider a stakeholder, in particular its maritime branch. So when we developed, for example, the tariff methodology, the tariff strategy, we take this to all stakeholders. So we hold roadshows for the methodology, at least in 4 cities around the country, open meetings, which we, of course, invite government, all the different categories of port stakeholders themselves, university professors and the general public to be able to, you know, go through the issues of a new tariff methodology for the country. I think in general we try to be as wide as possible and cover as many as possible who are stakeholders in the country. For example, I mean, we've had comments from even companies like Columbus and others, because they have an interest in how their product would move, and so we often get in our roadshows many a wide variety of stakeholders. I think the Honourable Sibanda. Slightly, you say we touch on beneficiation. It's correct that the beneficiation was part of a State of the Nation address. It was part of the 9-point plan. Job creation, this is, of course, a function. We are a regulator of the National Ports Authority. On our own, we don't really create much jobs, but in how we set out what they can do and within a reasonable economic framework as such of tariffs and change process of the tariff strategy, what it is possible for them to do in terms of job creation, and they are the bigger job creator as such. I think these are important things. Like I said, for example, earlier on, the incentive for South African flag vessels would have been a job creator. What we are doing for port tariff incentives, the PTIP program that I said would, of course, create help in job creation. The differential between South African manufactured products being exported and whether they are motor vehicles or exported in containers, also then, you know, the 70% reduction in price compared to imported goods, then also is our contribution to help in job creation, because it then helps industrialize South Africa as well as, you know, make South African goods or South African manufactured goods more competitive overseas. So I think it is our contribution to job creation that we are thinking about these things and consciously applying them to tariffs in South Africa. Outcome six, yes, the MTSF is a distillation of the National Development Plan in five-year tranches. I've had the honor of working at the presidency and also being part of the process of developing the MTSF when I was there. So outcome six was, in fact, all the outcomes were for the period 2014 to 2019 until the next election and then the next tranche of delivering on the NDP in the next MTSF. I mean, theoretically, that is how it's supposed to work. Whether it is actually going to be applied in that way, we cannot say. But the target for STIR was in the MTSF, in outcome six, there was a target. The target, if I remember, for the establishment of STIR was December 2016, which has gone already. So it is not a target on the ports regulator of South Africa to establish the STIR. It's not, the question was, how far are you? It's not for us. But it's for the delivery agreement on the MTSF. All of the people who are listed in the delivery agreement, it is their responsibility. And the responsibility then fell on ministers who were appointed and sign the performance agreements on delivering on the different outcomes. So the outcomes were listed as part of the MTSF, and the performance agreements with different ministers who shared responsibilities on different targets were actually written in. So it's not, I don't think a specific target was listed for the ports regulator of South Africa. That I'm fairly clear about. Slide 8, you said risks. dealing with risks, insufficient human resources, I think I've addressed this. Slide 8 is not what is actually happening. Slide 8 is the risks that we think might happen. So it's not, these are not, you know, like loss of regulated credibility are not happening. Human resources are not being able to do its job is not happening. But we say we would like to do more and therefore like to have more human resources and like to have more funding so that we can progressively do more to achieve fully the mandate that this organization was set out to achieve. So, and the same with the non-enforceability of decisions that you mentioned. That is a risk. And that particular risk that of non-enforceability will be addressed within the amendments, because the amendments then allow penalty clauses, et cetera, that allow greater enforceability of decisions. Honorable Hunsinger, the... yes, you mentioned Columbus Steel, and you mentioned the issues with legislation. I think I've addressed that one to say how you know, some of the definitions had to be sharpened up then in the Act just to ensure that there are no more legal issues with this. When did we submit? I must say on the... On the amendments, there were sort of two rounds of amendments. There was the previous board when I started with the regulator on the 1st of May 2014. There was a different regulator at that time, and it had proposed some amendments. Then a new regulator was appointed, and those were submitted to the DOT. And at that stage, the very first time I came to address this committee, I did a presentation about the funding model to say, here's a new funding model that we are proposing. It wasn't for the committee to take forward, because the committee can only take proposed legislation forward and amendments to legislation. But we were alerting you to the fact that we are thinking along the lines of, you know, having a different model from just pure fiscal funding. And that, you know, it would make sense for a regulator to be able to charge the regulated entity a regulatory fee. So that was what, it was not to say that you must do X, Y, and Z, and that we are blaming you for if it didn't happen. We are asking for your support that in future, if legislation comes from the department, that we are seeking your support on it. So there was an original set of amendments, and then when the new regulator was appointed after September 2015, they also said we would like to make amendments, and then that was sent to the DOT within actually last year. So I would not say that the DOT has done anything wrong and has delayed us or anything like that. It was that the new regulator also wanted to submit amendments. So I think in this regard we are hoping that you would support the amendments and, you know, be aware of the new funding model that is embedded within the amendments. As part of the amendments, and as well as the other amendments that deal with regulator powers being expanded. I think the minister, now we have a new minister, he would have to consider the amendments before it comes here. So it might not be that every single amendment that we have proposed will come to you, but it is his prerogative as to what he would like to amend. And so, I think we would take our lead from the DOT in that respect. But all we are doing here is to make you aware of these things so that as they come, then, you know, we will discuss it further. So, no, we are not blaming anyone or saying that you have done anything wrong at all. Chairperson, with that, I thank the members for their very insightful questions, and I think it's very helpful for us to know what you are thinking about these things, and it's very important for us to be able to address it constantly. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there somebody from the department who can tell us progress to date in terms of the proposed amendments of the Act? Is there somebody who's in charge of this portfolio who can? Okay.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. My name is Dumisani Ndula. I'm the head of Maritime Transport Policy with the Department of Transport. I would like to state here that the proposed amendments by the post regulator are receiving urgent attention. We have had two sessions with the regulator to obtain clarity, and the team is now drafting those amendments. And the target is that they will reach the parliamentary process in this financial year. I do not have specific dates, but I can assure the committee that we are giving priority to those. One of the things that have slightly delayed urgent attention to it was the absence of a comprehensive maritime transport policy. You might have followed that cabinet on the 10th now has approved the comprehensive maritime transport policy. So the country now has a maritime transport policy. And therefore some of the constraints we had to expand the mandate of the regulator, we now have an answer as to how to manage that. So our indication here is that they would reach you within this financial year. Thank you.
Honourable members, there we are. Can we say we have had other second takers? Silence is golden. Thank you very much. Thank you from the port regulator, especially the board member who has been here to the CEO and the rest. You are released, and thank you once more for the elaborate, short but elaborate presentation that actually opens a lot of horizon to us to can be able to say how do we now look at the other issues that you're raising socially. And I think in front of you here said that before the end of this financial year, the amendments will be able to see the shores of Parliament. We'll hold him accountable if that does not happen. And they will always preach the word consequence. There will be consequences if that does not happen. So be rest assured. Thank you very much, you are released. While SAMHSA will be making presentation, can have a 5 minutes comfort break.